Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is January, Saturday, the 10th, 2015, and I'm more than grateful, deeply grateful to be with you. I have some awesome questions that came to me this week, and I am very, very grateful for those of you who listen, who take the time to listen, who not only listen, but, ask questions, because your questions are important. Most people don't have many questions about their spirituality, their life. They just assume they know. The people who have graciously given me this privilege of answering their questions have offered to humanity a great gift. And I want it to be known as a gift. These questions are authentic. They mean a lot to the people who are offering them. And I hope they mean a great deal to those of you who are listening. These radio programs are made available and possible only through your gifts. Only through sponsorship are these radio programs heard and allowed to be on the air. And I want to thank you for your kindness, your love, your sharing, and you're giving. It makes a difference in people's lives. It truly does. Let us get to the first question. This one is by Andrea. She lives in the Midwest, she says. It is difficult for me to believe that I have hardness of heart because I feel so bad for so many people. If anything, I feel too much. How can I be hard of heart, as you say in your commentary, Andrea? Andrea, what you are suffering from is hardness of heart. It is emotionality. You have taken a stance. You have taken a position. And you probably feel very sympathetic towards people who are suffering, people who have great difficulty. And if I can only feel my suffering towards people who I recognize as having great difficulty, I won't see my own. We are all suffering here on earth. Even in our happiest moments, Andrea, we are suffering. We are suffering because we do not see the bigger picture. If you saw the bigger picture of life, if you knew the karma that existed, if you had read that commentary that I wrote, you would understand. But you can't read it because you can't read it. Because it doesn't interest you. People think because they're symbiotic that they're compassionate. They're not. I can feel for the suffering of humanity. I can feel for the pain and the sorrow that they go through and that they have. That is one very important step. But what I don't understand, what I will not understand, Andrea, is that I'm feeling sorry for myself, that this is a form of gratification for me. I've had it just like you. I feel the same thing for you. I feel the same thing for humanity. I feel the same thing for dogs and cats and all sorts of things. I have the same emotions you do. The only difference is I understand them. This is how my humanity deals with tragedy. But if I just leave it there, Andrea, if I just leave my emotions there and say, well, that's the best I can feel and that's what I should be feeling and that's the end of that, then I miss. People are always looking for cures to the things that are difficult, that they don't like. But the only cure is love. And if I'm sympathetic, I can't feel love towards, let's say, the person or entity or whatever that is causing the suffering in the first place. There must be a deep sense of love inside. A sense of love that goes beyond my sympathy. My hardness of heart takes on many different forms. especially when I look at my enemy and I say, whatever happens to you, you deserve. And you see, when I'm in my sympathy, that's the state of mind I'm in. I want the bad people to stop. I want the bad people even to suffer. I want the bad people to feel what they're doing to others. And maybe in the hopes of this kind of vengeance being some possibility for the end of something ugly happening. But it never works out that way. There's always other people standing in line, waiting to take their turn to hurt other people in order to feather their own nest. Andrea, compassion is a different thing. We all suffer from hardness of heart. If we live in that hardness of heart, if we formulate opinions and philosophies out of them, justifying them, rationalizing them, then we have achieved nothing in our life. What is the greatest human achievement a person can make? Would it be curing cancer? Would it be finding world peace? Or would it be some altruistic kind of point of view where we help the world? Those things do not exist and will not exist because there's too much money to be made off of all of those things that I mentioned: war, illness, poverty. The greatest human achievement is to remove ourselves from the idea of what would soothe the human and go into that place where only the divine exists inside of all of us, where only love exists, where love becomes the throb, the energy, the accumulation of great goodness. Now, when this happens, when someone achieves this, it is always in the world considered something foolish, something anti-whatever. You will lose your, shall we say, standing with other people because you will look so odd. You will stand out so weirdly that people will look at you and say you are a tree hugger or a geek or whatever they want to call you. But I tell you this, when you have the courage to be openly compassionate, the divine enters into you as love. The divine enters into you as the goodness of your nature. Your karma is revealed to you in many forms in this state of being. And you start to realize how ugly it has been, how ugly we have been for the things we have said and done that we don't want to take any responsibility for. We start to realize what we are doing and how we are doing it. And when we are willing to see all of that for what it is and the way it is, then we start entering into a different kind of life within us. Then hardness of heart starts to fade ever so slightly. Andrea, you probably don't understand what I'm teaching here. What I am giving to you, the world, and my students are the teachings from the other shore. They are not to be confused with getting what you want, believing in what you want, thinking that you should have what you want. It isn't about let's all live together and sing kumbaya. I am talking about an authentic division. As Jesus said, I did not come into this world to bring peace into the world, but rather war and division. He was not talking about the worldly sense. He was talking about the inner sense. And until you have been able to get through all of that war and rumors of wars in you and all the things that go on there, you're only going to see your life the way you see your life: in fear, in hate, in anger, in vengeance, in pride. You will take on that pedestrian mentality where you believe in Camelot, where you believe there are good people and bad people, where there are villains and no villains and heroes and all sorts of things. All of this is so convoluted, and it doesn't help humanity at all. So I end with this, Andrea. Our hardness of heart, we all have it. I have it. Everyone has it. We have to watch it. We have to be aware of it. We have to see it for what it is. We have to not allow it to overwhelm us. Because when we do, we lose the meaning of everything that is important. You are important. I say, let love live you. And please forgive me. Namaste. I find it interesting, really interesting, how we like to think the best of ourselves when we're doing the least of ourselves. When the least is the best of us, we really, really have an issue in this world and in this life. Most of us live that our method, how we live, the means justifies the end, but not so. How we do anything is how we do everything, and how we do everything is our karma. So it really doesn't work out the way we want to believe it does, but we like to believe it will, and it does. And I find that fascinating, quite frankly, that we truly have that two-facedness in us. It's just so weird. Next one. Question comes from Craig. What is the difference between the heart and the human emotions as you talk about it? I don't understand. Craig. First of all, Craig, I want to thank you for your kind comments. I also want to thank you for this question. Rarely, rarely do I get a question like this from a male. Most men just don't even care. But the fact that you are talking here about the heart and the human heart and all of that is fascinating to me. So I want to thank you for that. That's very kind of you. Let's go into the human heart a little bit. Andrea was dealing with her human heart. If you are listening to this radio program, Andrea is listening to the human heart. That's what she's about. That's what she is. That's who she is. She is the human heart. It's fearful, based in fear and the contempt of fear and hate. It uses hate to solve its problems. It is all about itself. It's selfish, unkind, unwilling, unbending, merciless. And it only leads to more karma, more hate, more pain, more sorrow, more suffering. Over and over and over again, this happens. So, the human heart can at best be sympathetic. But in that sympathy, it's only a form of selfishness because the human heart is only trying to protect its own interests. Now, people can hear teachings from the human heart. Thou shalt not. The Ten Commandments are all about the human heart. And when you hear, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that, then you have something that the human heart can understand. But when you go into the spiritual heart or you begin to teach the spiritual heart, the human heart will take exception. It will become angry and frustrated. See how you love, as Buddha said, and what keeps you from the journey. This is not a teaching that the human heart can understand, absorb, obtain inside. It can't do it. See how you love. The human heart assumes it is love. There is nothing to see how. It's just not in the cards. So we believe that we're doing well anyway, that everything is just hunky-dory. People in the human heart never question their human heart. Never. How could they? To question the human heart would be to say, well, possibly we've got an issue here, or there's a problem here, or whatever. And we don't want that, do we? Hardly. So this just goes on and on and on with us. The human heart is fragile. It's frail. It's philosophical. And it's always got some philosophy and reason as to why it does whatever it does. Oh, it'll say it loves, but then at the same time, it wants to destroy everything that it considers unloving. So the human heart is not inclusive. It's exclusive. And if I live in the exclusiveness of my human heart, then I take on biases and prejudices and fears and angers. And I'm willing to fight at any moment. You can insult me if I'm in my human heart. And then I am willing to dish out any amount of punishment or hatred I can in order to sustain the self-righteousness of my human heart. And this goes on and on and on. It's extremely petty. But when the moment comes, when the sword is taken out of the hand, when you are willing inside yourself to question the human heart, when you can realize my human heart has done so much damage due to pride and vanity, it is then in that moment, and only in that moment, that an awakening begins to occur. That a love begins to surface. That the possibility of something beyond the love and hate of the human heart is possible. It is in this very sacred moment of a person's life that they find the beginning of the turn towards something mysterious. You know the means and the ends of the human heart. You know them. You know how the human heart works. If you do this, you get that. If you get that, you can do this. There's morals built on it. Society is based on the human heart and its mores. But the spiritual heart, something quite different, something quite unique, something beyond the ideas and ideals of right and wrong and good and bad. The spiritual heart is encompassing. It is a blessing. It encompasses the blessing of love, of kindness, of beauty. It is realized through compassion and simple acts of love that turn into giving and forgiving. And its measure, what it's really all about, is mercy. The human heart is not merciful at all. The human heart is ruthless and unkind. But the spiritual heart, the real heart of us, it is about obtaining and attaining to mercy, a profound sense of mercy that awakens many aspects of our lifetime and our life to fall into the energies of a great love within, the love that Buddha taught, that everything is about love, that Jesus typified and also taught that love is everything. And when we understand that love is everything, when we are living as love is everything, our whole life changes. So Craig, the difference is infinite, it is vast. And you can't enter into the spiritual heart because you're trying to understand your spiritual heart versus your human heart. You can't do that. The spiritual heart must be first awakened ever so slightly. And then you have to be suspicious of your human heart. And I find that 9 out of 10 people are not suspicious of their human heart at all. It's so gratifying to feel its hate and live in the wake of its hatred and fear. But when that is no longer possible for you, when you are questioning it, when you and I are sick of our sickness, which is our human heart, it is then and only then that we can enter into maybe looking at the spiritual heart. Your question is fabulous. It is intelligent. And I thank you for it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Very beautiful question. Very beautiful. The last question comes from Trey in Washington State. He says, why can't I remember what you teach? I listen to a radio program or I watch a video of yours and I forget quickly. What is my problem? Or is it your teachings? Trey. Trey, it is my teachings. It is purely my teachings. You can't remember them because your mind cannot contain the essence of the teachings. The mind can only hear what the emotions allow. We are emotional thinkers, all of us. So if you're listening to this radio program, which I am sending to you, and you're listening to it via the whole idea of what makes sense to you and how to make sense of it, you will never get it. I have students who come to my retreats and listen to these programs and sit in counseling sessions with me where I'm working with them on meditation, inner work. And they are taking notes. And no matter how many notes you take, it doesn't matter because you're going to forget the spirit of it. How can you take notes? You're busy thinking about what you think I'm saying instead of maturating into what I am saying, the spirit of it. So you go back and you look at your notes, maybe. And what do you have? Words on a page. And what do these words give you? They help you remember maybe a thing here and a thing there. But what I am teaching you is not about thingness. I am teaching you about that gap, that pause, that space between your thoughts. Not thoughts themselves. Thoughts cannot reach the space. Thoughts themselves cannot be that emptiness and that space. Thoughts can only be things that we maneuver and manipulate around in order to maybe change the atmosphere, the environment of our thinking. But to truly change, to have an authentic change, you have to live beyond the beyond. You can't remember what I'm teaching because what I'm teaching does not lend itself to memory. I am not trying to be the how-to of your life. I'm not teaching you the how-tos of living. I am teaching you consciousness, how to reach into it. How to be kind to the human part of yourself. How to be merciful to your life. How to attain to compassion. I am not teaching thought. Thoughts do not make us spiritual. And spiritual is not thought. Spiritual cannot be conveyed through thought. It can only be conveyed through irony. The irony of seeing how we live our life, the way we live our life, and how we tear our lives apart by being so assumptuous and in contempt of silence. It is in the contempt of silence over thought that we find that we have lost our way. So the only thing I can really say to you, Trey, is You must do what I did when I first started. You keep listening. And you start to watch how you listen. And you will start to see that everything you listen to has to have some meaning to you that is personal. Some meaning to you that pertains to something you want or how to get something. How to be better than. And then you will know why you can't hear these teachings, because they're not about that. These teachings are not about being better than and having things and getting things and doing things and wanting things and all of that other stuff. Not about it at all. What I am teaching you here is love. And only love. And the only thing that matters is love itself. I hope that helps you. It probably doesn't, but you'll have to forgive me. I'm running out of time. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you with, please come to the website at aspire.org, hit contact at the top of the page, and send me an email. I would love to hear from you. I really would. Any question is given great consideration, believe me. And the edgier you are, the more authentic you are, you know, the more I'm going to love it. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.